I'm Janae Pierre, in for Melissa Harris-Perry, here with you on The Takeaway. Here's another conversation we're revisiting with MHP that's centered on women. Yeah, we're talking feminine products, so listen up.
Back in August, Scotland became the first country in the world to make tampons, pads, and other menstrual products free to the public. Scottish leaders hoped this initiative would open access to these essential products and help end period poverty. It's an issue plenty of people face in the United States, too. A 2021 study of college women conducted by George Mason University showed that 14% of college women have been unable to afford menstrual hygiene products at least once in the past year. For more, I spoke with Michaela Bedard, executive director of Period, a nonprofit fighting to end period poverty.
You know, period products are essential products, just like toilet paper and all other hygiene supplies that we use, but it's really been overlooked as a necessity. So we applaud Scotland for their work in addressing period poverty, and it gives us the energy and momentum we need to keep fighting for it here.
So if you're a producer of menstrual hygiene products and, you know, you're in business to make a profit, how does a policy like Scotland's affect you?
Well, certainly it's a good news for private industry that makes menstrual products, because they're going to get these government contracts, right, to be covered in more public places like schools, shelters, community centers. But more than that, something that we need to remember is that these are essential goods to address a biological need. So much more than corporate interests or profits, perhaps, that could go to brands of products, we need to talk about this as an essential good that people who have periods deserve. So the lives of people who menstruate that are going to be affected by this bill in Scotland is huge. It's going to allow people to go back and live their full selves, right? When they're in public, when they're at school, when they're in their workplaces, and not let a natural need hold them back.
In the study that I cited earlier about young women, college women, having, you know, a fairly high rate of an experience of being unable to afford menstrual products, that study also shows that these college women unable to afford menstrual products also are much more likely to experience things like depression, to miss days at school. Talk to me about the effect of period poverty on schooling.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because period poverty isn't simply the lack of access to products. What happens to a student when they have lack of access to products? They're not able to fully participate in school or in school-related activities. This can lead to absenteeism, but it also leads to stress. There is a historical shame and stigma around periods. And if they're not able to manage their period with dignity and confidence that they deserve, that's incredibly stressful for a student. You know, I'm glad you brought up that study about, you know, over 1 in 10 college students suffering from period poverty, but the numbers are worse than that. In the United States, teens between the age of 13 and 18 report that it's nearly 1 in 4 United States teen students who require period products are unable to access or afford them, 23%. And this is a study that came out just last year, and it's unfortunately worse than it was 2 years ago. In 2019, it was 1 in 5 students. So this is a pretty massive, oftentimes silent crisis that needs to be addressed.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Janae Pierre here, in for Melissa Harris-Perry. You're listening to The Takeaway. We're taking a look back at a conversation Melissa had with Michaela Bedard, executive director of Period. The two talked through initiatives in the U.S. to address period poverty and access to period products in schools.
Well, several states have learned about this issue and are working to address it. As of this summer, 17 states here in the United States have mandated that period products should be available in at least some schools statewide. Now it differs. Some schools mandate it for all public schools. For some schools, it's grade 6 through 12. But we are really excited to see 17 states address it. In addition to these 17 states, there are some school districts that have addressed it personally. For example, Austin, Texas, a school district just came out with an announcement that they are going to be providing period products and dispensers and bathrooms on site. So we're starting to see this momentum happen. It needs to be everywhere, though. Anywhere there is poverty, there is period poverty. And unfortunately, rates of childhood and student poverty in this country are not good. And this is a relatively easy solution that we can do for people, for working families that are struggling to make choices between period products and other essential goods. This is a fairly easy solution that we can have for students to simply rely on period products on site at schools.
Help me to understand the ways that stigma and stigma around this essential biological function both affects students who are impacted by period poverty, but also affects maybe our lawmakers in terms of their willingness to move forward on making some of these access decisions.
You know, stigma is real. It's hard for people to talk about periods. It's hard for students to talk about periods. We applaud them for their great bravery when they bring up this topic and talk about their lack of access. We also have to really applaud policy and lawmakers who have tackled this topic. It's difficult to sit in a large legislature room in a large atrium and start talking about menstruation and the needs of menstruators. Stigma is difficult. I can't tell you how many conversations we at Period have had with lawmakers who say, I don't want to use that word, or can we call it something else? I don't want to be up on the dais talking about this. So this is a massive stigma that we need to overcome. It's worth noting, Melissa, that historically, people that have been in decision-making positions, lawmakers, school administrators, have historically not been people in need of these supplies. So we don't really have a history of addressing this in a governmental way. And so when we talk about destigmatizing periods, we're really not just talking about it for young people and students. We're talking about it in our communities, in our cultures, because only by destigmatizing it are we going to be able to address this largely hidden crisis. And I love your question, Melissa, because it gives me a chance to say that this is pretty fixable, right? We know how to make period products affordable and accessible. And I think we can do it in our lifetime if we keep having hard conversations like you and I are having right now.
Yeah, I also got to say, Michaela, it's not that hard. Like, you know, about once a month, people who have periods have them and they need products. And there are a lot of products that make having that period a much more pleasant and reasonable and manageable experience. And then that makes it so you can learn and work and, you know, live your life.
Yeah, it's pretty predictable. We know when we need it. We know how much we need. So, you know, there are policy solutions to making products both more accessible and affordable. And I know that the folks at Period and all of our hundreds of youth-led Period chapters are not going to rest until that's done. And we applaud Scotland for taking that big step, showing us how it can happen.
Michaela Bedard, come on back and talk about periods here on The Takeaway anytime. We really appreciate it.
Time, Melissa. Thank you for tackling this with us.